The Fallen Outdoors is an all-veteran, all-volunteer organization that provides therapeutic outdoor activities to current and former military personnel at little to no cost. Their goal is to provide opportunities to our nation's heroes that they might not otherwise be able to participate in due to cost, ability, or availability. Their staffers are all volunteers that don't receive any kind of compensation for what they do, so 100% of all money made goes into their programs. So far, the Fallen Outdoors has provided help to over 200,000 veterans annually. They are currently operating throughout the United States with teams in over 40 states. And if you would like to make a difference and help our nation's heroes, you can learn more at thefallenoutdoors.org. Bow hunting. It's what we do. It's what drives us. For us, the bow hunting arena is as close to God's country as we can be. The only witnesses are the hunter and the hunted. It's what keeps us bonded together as the great conservationists we are. Backwoods Bow Hunter gives us the platform to share our experiences with you, unscripted, in our own backwoods humorous style. It's our passion, it's our tradition, it's Backwoods Bow Hunter. Enjoy the podcast.
This is the Great Gatsky from Crete, Illinois, and you're listening to Backwoods Bow Hunter with Tim and Mike. You know what I mean?
Speaking of time commitments and so forth, like we were doing a few seconds ago,
yeah,
you can tell I still haven't put the other deer head back up on the wall, or the cameras still aren't mounted over our shoulders recording this for video feeds. Huh. Still haven't done those things. How many weeks has that been now?
I'm not counting, but I think four.
Okay. Stats and numbers aren't your strong point, but four.
No, yeah. No. That's just a guess. Yeah.
You remember the great Greg Maddox?
Yeah.
That guy was a stud.
Damn right he was.
He got a dog when he retired. That dog hasn't been walked yet.
Ah, boy.
No?
Poor dog. I thought you were going somewhere for real with this one. It's embarrassing.
I guess not. No, I wasn't going anywhere for real at all.
Beautiful.
Not at all. Tim and Mike here, Backwoods Bowhunter Podcast Studio. What it's actually called, the Whiskey and Whitetails Podcast Studio, but hey, same concept.
Call it what you want.
That's right. It's ours. We can do what we want with it. Follow along as we describe the ups and downs of a whitetail hunting season, and right now the fishing season and a turkey season getting ready to be on our doorsteps.
I did get to do some fishing.
I saw that.
Yep.
And we share those experiences with you, the listener, about as real and honest as we can be. This is who you get.
This is us.
Take it or leave it.
Yeah.
If you're new to the show and you like bow hunting, backwoods humor, then you might have come to the right place, because we don't take ourselves too seriously, and there will be tons of soundboard bites usually throughout the show.
Yeah. But
I don't know if everybody gets annoyed by those or not. I don't care. I have fun with them.
Yeah, I don't know either. Hey, they're not... posting on the site saying, God, stop that. Sounds horrible. So,
well, you just gave him an idea.
Yeah.
Be sure and listen to the end of the show if you can tolerate us long enough, and we'll do the shooter, let it walk, and dry fire your bow segment. Those are always generally kind of fun.
Yeah.
Otherwise, just put your Crocs in four-wheel drive and buckle up.
Let's go. That's how we do things.
Check out our community page. It's called Major League Bow Hunting. It's on the Facebooks, and we also are on Facebook as our regular page, which is Backwoods Bowhunter, and we're on Instagram under that same name. Yeah. Actually, it's at Backwoods Bowhunter Podcast. My fault.
Hey,
everyone
has flaws, Tim.
Some goober out there has the name Backwoods Bowhunter on an Instagram handle or whatever you call that.
Yeah.
So I had to add podcast on the back of it.
I always make sure when I'm hashtagging it, I make sure it says the podcast. I think the first time I didn't, and then after that I started doing the @podcast or podcast at the end of it.
Right.
Yeah.
As always, we bring you incredibly mediocre content in a completely meaningless way from the heart of Big Buck Country, right here in the Whiskey and Whitetails studio.
Hey, check out Backwoods Bow Hunter Friends. Support them where you can. We ambush deer attracting, something we got to talk about a little bit further once we get a little closer towards the hunting season.
Quality stuff.
Wicked Pig barbecue rubs. That's coming to a theater here soon. Nice. Our friends over at the Fallen Outdoors, I believe at the beginning of the show, that commercial plays automatically, so I don't have to read all through that again. But make a difference. Help our nation's heroes. It's simple. It's easy. Go to thefallenoutdoors.org. Our friends at Titan Nutrition, we can talk about that when we get into the segment in relation to that.
Okay.
Who else we got here? Yeah, that works.
Yeah.
Countdown Tracker, 25 weeks plus 4 days till opening day.
182 days.
Yes. 180 tall.
I feel like Napoleon Dynamite. Yes. Getting closer.
It is. It is.
We're not indeed in the 200s anymore. I'm feeling a little better about that.
We're not even in the summer yet.
No, we're not even in the summer yet. But I did get out and got to fish, so that kind of took my mind off it a little bit. Yeah.
Yeah, we'll get into that here in a minute if you don't care.
No, I don't care.
Let's do Blue Line Badass.
Yeah. That went on.
Well, it's because I hit the record button that records the show and shut it off.
Oh.
Instead of hitting the button for Blue Line Badass.
Fair enough.
But I'll piece them back together. We don't have to start over.
No. As long as record was started in the beginning, we're golden.
Well, it was recording until I hit off.
So, hey, I bet the music stopped on the other end.
We got it did. And that's probably a good spot to... like, go back into it.
Jump right in.
Hey, this was not submitted by anybody this time, but something that I found and wanted to bring it up because our Border Patrol down in the El Paso sector, trying to do some cleanup work and take care of business, convicted murder caught by Border Patrol in another busy week at the El Paso, Texas, and or sector. You can probably take a wild guess when I say convicted murder.
Mm-hmm.
By the Border Patrol,
mm-hmm.
that this asshat is not a U.S. citizen.
I would say probably not.
Okay.
No.
So I'll read it off here. In yet another busy week at the porous U.S.-Mexico border, an illegal alien who was convicted of first-degree murder was apprehended by U.S. Border Patrol after once again illegally entering the United States.
Once again.
Once again.
Mm-hmm.
U.S. Border Patrol Chief Jason Owens announced the arrest of a Mexican national whose name wasn't released, but who has a long list of felony convictions. Border Patrol agents arrested a Mexican national with prior convictions for first-degree murder, battery, stalking, and probation violations. He's an aggravated felon, does not belong in the United States, let alone in our communities.
No. No. But some asshats think, you know, hey, let's let them all come over.
Yeah, you should see this picture. He's got neck tattoos all over his face, across his forehead.
Hmm. Sounds like a solid guy. Maybe he can come to the next barbecue.
Not the tattoos are wrong. You know,
no. No, but...
I don't generally want them on my face.
No. You start getting them all over your face and your neck and... Oof.
I would welcome him to my next barbecue.
Well, you should do that. Hey, be like a human pinata. Ha! Bet candy don't come out, though.
No. maggots will.
Yeah.
He was one of several dangerous criminals caught by Border Patrol in that sector last week. Chief Owens posted another tweet in which he wrote that a member of the Pisces gang was arrested at a so-called stash house in Las Cruces, New Mexico, along with two smugglers running the operation, along with 10 other illegal aliens. It's a Colombian gang with its core comprised of former paramilitary groups who demobilized amid a peace process with the Colombian government between 2004 and 2006. And I don't have to keep reading all this, but another Mexican illegal convicted of child rape in Kansas was also apprehended in New Mexico. So it already crossed the border again.
Yep. Crossed the border and was all the way up into Kansas.
You get the point, but
yeah.
Thanks, Joe. Appreciate you up there in Washington. Appreciate all you do.
You know, I think it's funny is 4 years ago, everyone was talking about someone being an idiot for wanting to keep him out. And now is looking for help on how to keep them out.
Yeah.
Huh.
Funny how
it's
that
funny
works,
how 4 years will change your mind.
It is. Ready, set, go.
It's the mystical flight of the arrow traveling downrange, searching for its next target. The thrill of chasing the elusive whitetail buck as it slips through the tall oaks. That encounter with a bull elk that is so close, you can feel its breath. The hair that stands up on your neck when you hear that long-bearded turkey gobble in the spring. It's our passion. It's our tradition. It's Backwoods Bow Hunter. And now, it's time to go full draw in the backwoods.
There he is. Let's talk fishing a little bit before we get. I wanted to talk about turkeys since turkey season starts Monday for us.
Yep.
So, but before we dive into that, let's talk fishing because you went fishing. Well, I did too, but
yeah,
you went crappie fishing.
I went twice.
Twiced, as my dad would say it.
Yeah, I went twiced. The first one was semi-unsuccessful. They're working on the dam over at Wren Lake, which is located pretty close to my crappie spot. It's
supposed to be doing that for a while too, right?
Apparently.
Last I heard.
So we had Friday off. It's Good Friday. So I loaded up the old bicycle in the back of the truck. Had my bucket with my poles, tackle box, and I pedaled.
That would have been better was a moped.
Yeah, yes. That would have been way better. And I pedaled about a mile and a half down to the lake, walked the rest of the way. Because you have to go up a little hill and then across because the water kind of splits off there. So I rode my bike till I couldn't ride anymore, and I just laid that sumbitch down in the grass and got up and walked the rest of the way. Got to my fishing spot, caught two striper, a catfish, and three crappie. But all the crappie, there was one in there that was probably a keeper. So didn't keep anything. But then Saturday morning, we have a friend who said he wants his bass to get bigger in his pond, but the crappie are overrunning it. So come get these
common,
out.
Common problem, yeah.
So I had no problem going and assisting in that.
You didn't have to ride your bicycle to that, did
nope.
You?
We drove and walked right down to it. It was nice. And we kept 11. They were all between 12 and 15 inches. All healthy, fat, nice crappie. And we threw back probably five or six that were about between the 9 and 11 range that we could have kept. And like I said, he wanted us to keep anything we can get out of there. So
yeah.
But then he told us, which made me a very happy man, anytime you want, come on back. I said, okay, we'll see you next weekend.
Yeah, There have been days in my life where I wish there were crappie in my pond here just for the ability to catch them and eat them.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But I'm glad they're not at the same time because that's one thing they're notorious for is taking over.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then stunts the growth on everything else. And
yep.
So
you get some nice crappie out all the time, but then that's all you're fishing for.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think we need to start pulling some of the bluegill out of this one because they're overran in there and I can see it. Every once in a while, we'll catch a 4-plus, 5-plus pound bass out of there.
Yeah.
But for the most part, like the ones, you know, Jake and I were catching a couple days ago, they were 12, 13-inch fish.
Yeah.
You know.
Mm-hmm.
Just a bunch of them.
Well, at least there's still fish in there.
Well, yeah, it's fun. You know, you're not going out there and getting skunked, you know, yeah. Especially for kids. It keeps them going and wanting to do it. But at the same time, I like to hook into a little bit of a better one every once in a while.
And, yeah, yeah.
You know.
So. Picture worthy.
That's right.
Yeah. When I pee, it glows. Just sometimes.
When you fish, or?
No, not when I fish.
Okay.
It's pretty natural when I fish.
Yeah. It's good to know. Got a trivia question for you.
Uh-oh.
You ready for this?
Sure.
Do you know what inhabits 38 states and a handful of Canadian provinces? It's clue number one. Clue number two, most are found east of the Mississippi River.
Okay.
Still stumped?
Yeah.
Third and final clue. They can be wary and hard to call into range.
Turkey?
The king of the longbeards, eastern wild turkey.
Okay. Woo! Glad I didn't fail that one. I'm one of them basic bitches, you know what I mean? Damn right.
The Backwoods Bowhunter Podcast is brought to you by Titan Nutrition. Titan Nutrition is one of the most trusted and respected supplement brands in the industry. They have a wide range of products ranging from amazing proteins and vitamins to pre-workouts and superfoods. Backwoods Bowhunter is proud and excited to be partnering with such a great company. Go to their website at titannutrition.net and use discount code Backwoods at checkout to get 10% off of your order and free shipping. Take care of your health, get yourself dialed in, and you can begin by going to titannutrition.net using discount code Backwoods. You won't be disappointed. Yes, it is the long-bearded eastern wild turkey. Nice. As we've said already, turkey season starts a week from yesterday, so the Monday the 8th, I believe it is.
When this comes out, it'll be 3 days away.
You're right.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, that'd be true. Well, depending on how long it takes me to piece these shows together now.
That's true. Now that you've stopped
I may for fun to hit the stop button again. I don't know.
Just to kind of really put a little extra time into your day.
Oh, what a douche I am. Might as well. We've been hearing them back here. You know, I hate to kick a dead horse all the time here, but because I bring this up a lot, but this property it goes year to year.
Yeah.
There'll be years where we have a pretty large turkey population. And then there'll be years where, and that's, you know, the reason if you walk in my barn, have you ever seen the spans of turkey feathers, like the tails,
yeah.
The tail spans that I have hanging in there? Well, those are the good years.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then there's the years that you just nothing.
Like
can't find them. Can't, I don't know. I don't know what the deal is. But anyway, every morning when the barred owls have been piping off out here, we've been hearing gobbles behind it.
Really?
So, Mary started hearing them. I hadn't heard them when she's doing her giddy up in the bathroom. She likes to open the window and just let the outside noises and stuff kind of come into the bathroom. And she
nothing wrong with that.
And she told me, she's like, I'm pretty sure I heard a gobble. And I'm like, really? I said, where'd it come from? She goes, I don't know. I said, what are you talking about? You don't know. Part of the game is to scout it. You know, I got to know where they're coming from.
Listen and then look.
So then I started having to pay attention, you know. I shouldn't have to do that.
No,
other people
absolutely
should do
not.
That for me.
Mm-hmm. That's what Mary's there for.
Yeah. So anyway, I've got a general idea of the direction they're gobbling from, but it's almost every morning. And I've been, are you familiar with rucking? You know, like using a rucksack
or
a ruck backpack. I don't currently own a ruck pack, but I have a weighted vest, so I've been doing some laps around the property here, either around the pond or I'll go hit the trails with that weighted vest on. And sometimes I'll hear the owls hooting as I'm doing that, and I've heard them gobble. So I know where they're coming from.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah.
It's a good sign.
You got an eye on a herd anywhere? Or
no.
Still winging it?
No, just winging it. I'm really looking forward to the Kentucky trip, so.
Yeah. Don't forget to get your licenses.
Do we have to get them like beforehand?
Well, when I don't know. I would, but.
Yeah. Did you?
Yeah. like when I did it for archery season, trying to get it spit out.
Yeah.
You know, you just buy the license and whatever tag it is you need online and print it out. That's what I did for turkey season.
Oh. I'll just have to find out which website to go to, and then
I can probably forward it to you.
Okay.
I'm sure I still have that somewhere.
If you could do that, then I'll get my stuff ordered.
In fact, I believe it's on my desk. So,
yeah, probably would help if I had it, huh?
Yeah.
Other than showing up out there and being like, all right, let's go get them. And they say, it's too late. It's time to hunt.
Right. Yeah. I'd take care of that. Where are you planning to go here?
Well, Mikey's got a friend. He was on the show, actually, with us at one time. Bennett.
Yeah.
With the Coon Dogs.
Coon Dogs.
Yeah. He's got some farm property not far from where I work. And he said he's got a couple fields that he's seen him in. So we're going to go out with him one day. And then Mikey's got a pretty nice flock of them at my dad's house up by his camera, up by that open food plot area.
Yeah.
He's had some turkey come through there a couple times. So we figure we'll go up there one day. I'm only going to get one or two mornings out here that I'm actually going to be able to hunt, unfortunately, because of work. But I'll just go hunt with him one morning till about 9, and then I'll just drive straight to work since it's only a couple blocks away. And then the day at my dad's house, it's not that far from there either. I'll get out there, hunt till about 8 or 9, and see what happens.
There you go. What, maybe I was going to ask you this later. Let me check here. Yep, I was going to ask you later, so we'll just wait.
We'll wait.
All right. Well, turkey populations are declining. You can find a show that we did on that probably last spring.
Yeah.
That we talked about some of the reasons why the populations are in decline. And I was reading a Field and Stream article just a couple days ago, might have been yesterday, and they were getting into that a little bit too. And I mean, a lot of it's the same reasoning that we've already discussed with predators and things like that. But so I don't know. I don't know what kind of a population of birds I have here. They haven't came out into my field at all, which usually they do.
Yeah.
They're usually coming out here and rolling in the dirt and doing what turkeys do. But
I wish turkey mites and like ticks would be starting to decrease in population. That would be fantastic.
Yeah.
Not the actual turkey, just the mites.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I hear you that.
Mm-hmm.
Have you tried the new bug spray?
No, but I wish I did Sunday morning.
So we're going to have, let me grab it.
Yeah, I wish I had it Sunday morning, I'll tell you what. Had a tick on my hip Monday morning when I took a shower. I was like, what the hell?
Well, we've got a sponsorship deal coming along here really soon. We're going to have a discount code for everybody from Zone Protex. We have their insect repellent here in my hand. Repels mosquitoes, fleas, ticks, chiggers, no-see-ums, and gnats. Unscented and odor-free. So, isn't unscented and odor free kind of the same thing?
Check.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, you remember last week when you got here, I had this big ass tree laying out here that blew over in the windstorm.
Yeah.
So Jake and I
blown away because I don't see it anymore.
Yeah. Jake and I got out here with the chainsaw and cut it up the other day and hauled it off. But first thing I did was coated ourselves in this stuff right here. I thought, why not? I mean, they sent it to try it, right? The whole idea is to give it a whirl, see what we think about it. Now I'm moving a bunch. So I was like, I was perfectly fine.
You got out of your grooves.
We hosed ourselves down with it and cut up that tree. And we were, you know, in and out of the woods a little bit because some of that crap we were just throwing out there.
Yeah.
And not a bug to be found on either of us. So,
nice.
So, yeah.
Yeah, I thought about it as we were, my brother was in town, so we took me and my brothers and then my boys and his son. We all went out to the woods and did some disc golf, and I throw most of them in the woods, so I spent a lot of time in there.
It's embarrassing.
It's extremely embarrassing. And then I thought about it after the second trip in and out of the woods. I said, we got this new insect repellent that this would have been a great time to test.
Yeah.
And I didn't, and I had a tick on me.
Now, see?
I've learned now. I'm pretty hard-headed, but I figured it out afterwards.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I've got a lot of work to do in the woods still.
Yeah.
And So I'm going to put it to the test big time. Plus, we're going to be out there next week, you know, turkey hunting. But so we'll see what it's all about. And if we like it, so far we do, there'll be a code coming your way in the near future where you can get your hand. And they have a lot more stuff than just insect repellent. They had cover scents for, like, deer season and stuff like that, too. So,
yeah.
Quite a few different supplies that they...
Yeah, I'm pretty excited about the whole thing in general.
Yeah, I am, too. I am, too. And refillables, you know, which is nice as well. You don't have to buy the whole nozzle thing every time. And
Just buy the refillable bottle and
whoop. Yep, buddy.
Whiz that bad boy on.
Hell, my mom and dad camp a lot.
Yeah.
I'm planning on Father's Day, Mother's Day, hooking them up with some of this stuff. So here you go.
Yeah.
Don't buy your, because mom doesn't like to spray Repel and Off and things like that on her because of the smell and stuff.
Yep.
And it's also got like that greasy feel to it. And this stuff here didn't.
No?
No. Yeah, well, I mean, that's good. It went on, and I mean, you could see a little bit of a wet look to it when it first went on, but it didn't take long and you didn't know it was there. So it was really nice.
Well, so far, plus.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You got any hunting tips? I know you're not as much of a turkey hunter as you are a deer hunter. You got any hunting tips for anybody going out into the turkey woods?
Don't let me call for you.
Okay.
That's tip number
one. I don't have
that
on the soundboard anymore. I play your call.
My sweet turkey call that Tony insulted me with. So I'll see if he could do better. We'll find out.
Hey, I tell you
what. Down there.
Right now. Since I have to piece these two things together, I can plug in your turkey call in between there.
Beautiful.
So they just heard it.
Okay, good. Yeah, don't use that one.
Yeah, don't do that.
Mm-mm. No.
I got to make a note so I don't forget, though.
Yeah, I haven't really been this is only going to be the third year that I've ever been going out turkey hunting.
Yeah.
And in the first 2 years, I only went out three times, so I'm still pretty much a turkey virgin. So I would hate to give advice.
Yeah, well, I guess the first thing I would give would be what we already just discussed a few minutes ago for scouting.
Yeah.
Get an idea of where they're at. I mean, you didn't go out and scout, but Mikey's got an idea, and then Bennett has an idea. So, I mean, that's scouting, right?
Yeah.
They've been watching them, monitoring. Mm-hmm. Locating them, knowing where they are, where they're roosting, I mean, is a recipe for success, you know, because then you know where to go set up, you know, and how to get in on them.
Mm-hmm.
If you're going in just completely blindly, you better hope that you found a good piece of property and that's where they're hanging out, you know.
Amen to that.
But I know the general idea of where they're at back here. You know?
Yeah.
So it's just a matter of
getting
moving
in
on them on dark and at dark and, you know, trying to catch them out of the roost, coming down out of the roost and have some fun.
Yeah.
So scouting's crucial. If you're public land hunting, I mean, you just got to get out and put boots on the ground, I guess.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, that's really all you can do. And you're not just looking for turkey, but you can be looking for turkey signs as well.
I was going to say, they're pretty big birds. So you find some old puddles or just almost dried up puddles. You can see nice big old bird print in that.
Yeah.
So
some scat, you can find where they've been scratching. I mean, there's different ways to do it, but you just got to get out and get after it. As far as calling goes, I think I've learned, I'm not the greatest turkey caller in the world. I will readily admit it. I know how to do it.
Yeah.
I know what sounds to make, you know, and the clucks and the purrs and so forth. I mean, I can do it and it's worked for me. I've done it well enough, but I wouldn't call myself a pro by any stretch. But something that I learned back when I was a big time waterfowl hunter, that don't overcall, don't overdo it.
Yeah.
You know, I used to hammer on a duck call sometimes because you just get caught up in the moment and you're birds flying and working you and you just tear into it. And the next thing you know, they're not working you anymore and they left.
Yeah.
I overcalled them, you know, and blew them off. So you can do the same thing with turkeys.
Yeah.
You know, if you get one that's working you, if he's coming at you and working you, I usually, and you know, others who are more, that's the word I was looking for, more inept at turkey calling, may disagree, but if I got one working me, I'm not calling it. I'm letting him do his thing. Now, if I feel like he's not coming in or he's lost interest, then I might do it a little bit more. But for the most part, I'm...
Yeah.
And I found the power, at least Rio hunting, I found that doing some little purrs, you know, was more effective there than...
Yeah.
Than... I don't know. Like I said, I'm not a pro at it. I try to watch the bird, see what the bird's doing.
Yeah.
And react to that.
I think it's just like with anything, like even when you're deer hunting, you can rattle too much, you can grunt too much, you can bleat, you know, hit your bleat call too much. I mean, you could chase them away. So I would assume everything where you have the ability to call, you can overdo it.
Oh, yeah.
And I'd probably be that guy. I'd be hitting the shit out of that box call.
Yeah, and these Easterns can be tough to call in. I mean, and a lot of it, I mean, they're like we said earlier, they're just such a wary bird to begin with.
Yeah.
But they also, the gobblers have had some hunting pressure on them at some point, probably, mm-hmm. you know, so they're not hearing something they haven't heard before, you know, yep. and, you know, you got to just keep that in mind. Lastly, for me, something I think that's super important is pattern your damn shotgun. Make sure you know yeah. where it shoots, where it hits, at, mm-hmm. not only at 10 yards, but at 30, at 40,
yep.
you know, however far you're going to go out, 50, whatever, wherever you're comfortable with.
Yeah.
But make sure you know where it's going to pattern.
Yes, and very important.
Just especially, like shooting your bow. I mean, I'm shooting the same tungsten rounds that I got last year because I bought extras, but so I know how mine patterns, but if you're switching ammo.
Yeah.
Switching a different, you know, mm-hmm. going from Winchester to Federal or whatever, you know.
Yep.
It's going to pattern differently, you know. Or if you shot steel before, now you're shooting tungsten, it's going to pattern differently. So.
Well, Tony told me I'm using his gun, so.
Oh, okay.
I'm holding him to it.
Okay.
I didn't know I'm bringing mine, but I'm holding Tony to his word.
All right. Well, he knows how it's patterned, I'm sure.
I'm sure he does. At least we hope so.
Tony didn't offer me a shotgun.
No. I think Tony closetly loves me, which I'm okay with 100%. I know what you're looking for.
I don't know.
I'll just say it. I'm a good looking son of a bitch.
I don't know what screen it's on.
Oh, damn.
Where the hell did it go?
I'm a walking soundbite, Tim.
Did you delete it?
I don't think so. I'm a good-looking son of a bitch. Why ruin it?
Hell yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well, he knows that I've got a turkey gun already, so.
And that you've killed bird.
Yeah.
So he knows I'm a virgin coming in. Turkey virgin. Tony, don't get excited.
Regardless, it's going to be fun. It'll be fun for me both ways. It's going to be fun here chasing the ones that I got here, and it'll be fun going up there and seeing Tony and Shannon and hanging out a little bit and getting after some birds up there.
Hanging
too,
out with the fellers. I don't know if Steve's going to go up there or not.
Steve who? Steven. Oh, never mind.
Sheesh. Wow.
Well, I know him as Steven Bader, and so when you say Steve, it threw me off.
Well, I know.
It messed me up a little bit.
Well, we'll go with that.
So, let's see. What are we looking for here? The Backwoods Bowhunter Podcast is brought to you by RTS Outfitters, your specialty retail source for running, hiking, backpacking, and more. If you are a runner, walker, hiker, general outdoorsman, or just someone who is on your feet all day, RTS Outfitters offers the highest quality footwear, gear, and accessories to keep you moving forward. Visit them at one of their two retail locations in Marion, Illinois and Paducah, Kentucky, or online at rtsoutfitters.com.
Oh, it's a deep burn.
Oh,
it's so deep. Ah. Oh, I could barely lift my right arm because I did so many. I don't know if you heard me counting. I did over 1,000. You have your eubulus muscle that connects to the upper dorsimus.
Are you talking about the eubulus muscle today, Mike?
Actually, we hit the eubulus a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
So today what I want to hit is two different things.
Hang on, I didn't do the brought to you by yet.
Oh, I'll wait.
I was just waiting for you to say yes or no.
No.
Okay. Get Dialed In is brought to you by Titan Nutrition, one of the most trusted, respected supplement brands in the industry with a wide range of products ranging from proteins and vitamins to pre-workouts and superfoods. Everything that you need if you're chasing elk in the dense air of Colorado, or if you're chasing turkeys in the sweaty rainforest of the Midwest that we tend to have here.
Mm-hmm.
But regardless, you can save money by going to their website at titannutrition.net and use discount code
Backwoods.
And that will give you 10% off and free shipping. Now, fire away.
Okay, here we go. I've got two things for you today.
All right.
First, I wanted to go with a quick little snack. That it's a little protein snack for you.
Wild turkey.
It won't be wild turkey this time. But they're basically little, I don't know, chocolate peanut butter oat balls, we'll call them. If you make them the way I say to make them here, you're going to have, for your macros, you're going to have 160 calories, 7 grams of protein, 15 carbs, and 8 grams of fat per ball. The recipe that I'm about to give makes 15 of them. You're going to start off with a 3/4 cup of creamy peanut butter, your choice, and then 1/4 cup of honey. You're going to microwave those two for about 30 seconds, mix them together real good. Then you're going to add 2 cups of oats, 2 scoops of, I'm going to go with chocolate protein because of the peanut butter, or if I can find a peanut butter protein, because the more peanut butter, the better for me.
What about almond butter?
Ooh, I mean, I guess, but, you know, I'm throwing protein in it here, 2 scoops.
Well, almond has protein.
It does, but I think it'll water them down if you go with a liquid over a powder.
Okay.
Yeah, because you got to roll them into balls now.
I don't know why I was even interrupting. It was your recipe.
Hey, it's okay.
Sorry.
And then basically roll them into 15 balls, put them in the refrigerator for a little bit, let them get the way they need to go, and you're golden with a little snack that you can, you know, have one or two a day of, and you're getting your little bit of peanut butter in you, and you're getting protein. And because we've talked before about you don't want to give up in life all the things you love when you diet to lose weight. You just have to moderate everything. So figure this way. If you're a person that loves the peanut butter, hey, here you go.
That's your take on basically Kodiak's version of those protein balls?
Yeah. Yeah. It's just going out and buying stuff, and then you'd have enough for multiple times of making it. Yep. You know what I mean? So you could buy the Kodiak, buy them, make them. I'm not really sure what those have in them, like protein-wise, calorie-wise. I've had them before, and I could have told you when I made them.
Yeah.
But I haven't made those in
a
while.
I've got a box in the house.
But those are very good, too. I mean, there's nothing wrong with those.
Oh, they
either.
Are very good, yeah.
The second thing is just wanted to hit real quick. When you're in a gym, okay, like I know you like to work out in your garage when it's nice out, but when it's not nice out and you have to go to the gym, I like to help, like, younger kids when I see them. Like the other day, I was doing butterflies for my chest, and there was 2 kids on the decline bench. And I could tell they've never done it before just by the way they were lifting, because they were like trying to push it back behind their heads and everything, and they were really awkward. So I kind of stepped over there and I explained to them the proper way. You know, the one guy had like, the one kid was probably close to 6 foot, and the other one was like my height, you know, 5'7", 5'6". And they were using the same distance on where you wrap your legs around. Now, that's adjustable. So the kid who is 6 foot tall is laying on there, and the kid who's, you know, 5'6", 5'5", was really having a struggle on getting it off the bar and trying to, you know, do it the right way. So I showed him how to adjust that. I showed him the way they want to lift it. You know, they want to push it up, not towards their head, but, you know, like down. The way you're angled is the way you want to go up. You don't want to go towards your head with it. So I kind of showed them that, and, you know, they were really grateful for it. And I watched them do a set, you know, and they did it, and they adjusted, and so everything worked out good. But on the other hand, sometimes when you see somebody struggling and you try to tell them, they get this pissy attitude with you because they know what they're doing. So those guys, I don't like to help. I won't You know what I mean? Once I seen you do something wrong, like there's this younger kid. Well, I say younger. He's probably 19, 20. But every time I see him curl, I mean, he's flipping his back and rocking his back and, you know, got the 80-pound, you know, barbell or dumbbell trying to do 80 pounds, and he's just, yeah, like, whipping his body into it. So I was like, hey, you know, if you drop that down to, like, a 60, you can actually get a curl out of this that's going to, mm-hmm, you know, concentrate on your biceps, target, not your lower back. Yeah, not your lower back. And he told me that he is supersetting, and he's just trying to get out as many as he can to get the better burn. So I said, okay, you get the better burn.
In your back.
Yeah, in your lower back. When you're 30 years old and you're walking over like an old man, let me know how that worked out for you with your supersets.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, if you're at the gym and you see, you know, somebody struggling with something, even if it's a guy my age or older who you could tell's new at the gym, I always try to, you know, if I can, point them the right direction. As long as they're responsive to it, you know, I don't mind helping them anything they want. But like with this young kid, every time I see him cluster screwing something, I let him do it. If he's going to mess his back up, let him mess his back up.
So the Kodiak protein balls with oatmeal chocolate chip has, yeah, 13 grams of protein per serving and 290 calories.
Okay. So see, you could probably take this recipe. You just have to do the math, and you can probably raise the calories by making, instead of making 15, make 10, and then you could probably bump your protein up to, you know, between 7 and 12 a ball, and then you'd also go up on your calories a little bit. To me, anytime I find some kind of food that I snack on, like in between my meals, I try to keep them under 200 calorie snacks, like a pack of crackers. They got these clean bars that are really good. I'll eat them. A little bag of pistachio nuts. They're like 160 to 190, depending on what flavor. But I try to keep my snack under 200. So, I mean, if you can do that, make them balls a little bit bigger, you just got to do the math. You know, take your proteins from everything you're putting in, your fat, and just recalculate it. But, I mean, you could probably cut it down to 10, probably bump that up right around 200 calories a ball and maybe 10 grams of protein per ball.
Yep. So what I was going to say was I've been rucking, you know, I told you with a weighted vest on.
Mm-hmm.
And I've got a semi-buddy who's invited me to go rucking with him a few times a week, but they go at 5:15 in the morning.
Yeesh.
And one of those days I'm good with that. I don't mind it. The other two might be a little bit more challenging, but I've been doing it on my own a little bit too. And that's all fine. But yesterday, so I haven't been able to work out at all for, mm-hmm, 3 weeks because of my stab wound. It's got me all discombobulated.
I would say so, yeah.
So finally, and you can, I don't know if you want to because you get weird about it, but you can see what working out did to the wound there.
Oh boy.
Yesterday. So I decided yesterday to go back to hitting the weights again. I haven't been, like I said, I haven't been able to do it for 3 weeks,
yeah,
other than the weighted vest on my shoulders and just walking, you know. So I've got this kettlebell workout that I do, and it's a kettlebell weight / cardio workout.
Okay.
So it hits both all at the same time. I mean, when I say cardio, like I'll be huffing and puffing when I do it, and I'm in pretty good shape.
Yeah.
So I decided I'll go back. When I start back, I'll start with that kettlebell. I call it kettlebell cardio. I'll start back with that. But I'm going to wear the weighted vest while I do it. So I'm going to make it even that much harder.
There you go.
And the wife yelled at me, and she's like, it's the first workout back. Don't you think you should have gone a little easier? Maybe just leave the vest off.
Fair enough.
I'm a diaper baby.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Fair enough. Anyway, I ended up splitting my little wound open a little bit again. So, but it didn't stop me. I'd worked out again today.
I don't blame the vest for that, though.
No, it's not the vest fault.
It's probably the workout.
Yeah, it's the,
yeah,
the abrasiveness of the kettlebell in my palm, or, mm-hmm, today's dumbbells in my palm.
Yeah,
that did it.
But now, are you having that pain that you were having last week? Like, remember when you went to sit down, you pushed down? And
occasionally.
You got belly turning pains?
I didn't, you know, I haven't with either of the workouts. The only thing that bothered me with yesterday's workout is when I was shoulder pressing the kettlebell.
Yeah.
That bothered me.
Because it's pushing right on it.
And then today when I was doing preacher curls, it bothered me.
Yeah.
But otherwise, I haven't had any issues with anything else with it.
Okay. Well, then it's healing.
So, I hope. Yeah. I don't know if I'm speeding it up anybody.
No, probably not.
But I was off for 3 weeks, and I don't want to be off anymore. No. You know, I got to go. Time to get back after it.
Well, so, when I had that hernia surgery, they told me I couldn't work out for 8 weeks. And I told Kelly when we walked out of the doctor's office, I said, well, that ain't fucking happening. I am not going 8 weeks without working out.
Yeah.
So I gave it the 4, maybe 5 weeks. And then I started going with 5-pound weights. And then 6th week, I was at, you know, 10-pound weights. And by the 7th week, I said, I'm good to go. So I went full steam.
Yep, there you go.
Yeah. Did I re-injure it? I don't know. Only time will tell. But I couldn't go 8 weeks without lifting weights.
Yeah, I couldn't do that either.
No.
I don't like it. Like, but when I didn't have an injury, if we went somewhere for a weekend or something, mm-hmm. I don't like not doing it then, you know? I mean,
yeah.
I'm like, that's 2 days I'm missing. Mm-hmm. Can't do that.
That's like my wife and the family were all going on vacation this year, and they're planning on being gone like 6 days. I'm like, well, I can give you 4, but I'm working out before we leave, and then we're coming home early enough so I can get to the gym that night.
Yeah, well, like last year when we went to the all-inclusive in the Dominican,
yeah,
when I was searching for resorts in the Dominican, I was searching for ones that had a gym.
Yeah.
You know, and mm-hmm. now we're going somewhere in June this year, and I'm doing the same thing. I'm searching for ones that include a gym.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Hey, that's a good habit to have.
It is. Could be worse.
Yeah. You could be worried about how big's the liquor bar, how big is their liquor stash. That could be a problem. Or, hey, we got to go to a country where we could bring back illegal drugs with us. That would be another problem. Not, hey, we got to find a gym. That's a good thing.
Let's do some shoe roulette walks.
Okay.
So you remember last week we brought up Shooter Let It Walk, Febreze eliminates odor because it says on there eliminates odor.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He was wearing it for deer hunting.
Wearing it for deer hunting.
So Victoria, I believe it's Victoria's Secret, has a perfume called Amber Romance.
Mm.
Now, you're familiar with the duck guys, duck commander guys.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Including the patriarch himself, Phil Robertson. They all wear Amber Romance when they're out in the woods because they swear it will not allow a bug to get anywhere near you.
Amber Romance.
That's correct. They were making fun of themselves for it on the podcast that I was listening to, but swore that no bug will touch you with that stuff on you. So,
Hey.
You going to shoot that or let it walk?
I'm probably going to have to shoot it for right now. Or, I mean, let it walk. I'm going to let it walk for right now. I'm going to stick with Zone Protect, see how that fills out.
Okay.
That keeps bugs off me. I'm going to stay away from the perfume section.
Well, I will as well, but those guys have a pretty good reputation of being woodsmen, so if they say it, who do I discount it? So I'll say shoot it.
I believe it.
I'm not doing it, but yeah. I'll say shoot it.
I'm not going to doubt them, but I'm still letting it walk, and I'm going to see, you know, old Zone Protect take care of me, and as long as it covers me up and I don't get no bugs on me, I'm staying out of the perfume aisle.
All right.
Yeah.
Let's start here. You are going to kill a turkey in Illinois. Shoot or let it walk?
I'm probably going to let that one walk.
Well, being that you're only going for a couple hours once and whatever
maybe
the other one.
Maybe 2 days.
I guess I'll have to let it walk too. All right. How about I am going to kill a turkey in Illinois?
Well, you said you've heard them. I got faith in you.
Okay.
I'm going to shoot it that you can.
All right.
Yeah, I'm going to shoot it that you'll get it done.
I feel pretty good about it, so I'm going to shoot it too.
Yeah.
All right. You will kill a turkey in Kentucky this spring.
I'm shooting the shit out of that.
How about?
It's happening.
How about I will kill a turkey in Kentucky this spring?
Well, now at this point, if I get one out there, you got one here, we'd be tied on points, so I'm going to let that one walk, Tim.
Okay.
Just for the point value.
All right.
You know what?
Fair enough.
To hell with it. I want to see us both get one. So
me too.
I'm gonna have to shoot that one.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm not gonna let it walk anymore.
I appreciate
it. I'll just be down by X amount of points and have to struggle the rest of the year, catch up.
you never know. Let's see.
It'd be nice if we could double up one day. That'd be pretty badass.
I already talked about our new sponsor product. That was going to be something I was going to bring up now. Oh, which one of the, because you got two now, which one of them turkey vests you planning on decorating yourself with?
Oh, the one with the seed. I've already moved all the shit over to it.
All right.
Yeah.
So the latest one.
The new one, yeah. Mikey says, oh, well, you've got two now. You don't need them. I'll take the other one. Oh, isn't that cute?
Of course.
I like how that works out.
I've got to find a way to go get that freezer.
Oh, he told me about that. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Mary and I were talking about it, and like my big deep freeze that's in here has got venison in it. It's got elk in it. It's got turkey in it. But then it's also got non-wild game stuff, you know, brisket and ribs and, you know, chicken and whatever. And the small deep freeze that we have in the garage is old. I mean, it's almost as old as you.
Shit, that's old.
It's got rust all over it. It's still running.
I don't have rust, and I'm still running, so.
That's where she keeps stuff like ice cream. And
yeah. This way, if it goes bad, you really don't lose much.
If we make a pot of chili, for example, you know, and eat on it a couple of days, then she'll put it all in a bowl and freeze it. It goes in there. So I told her, I said, you know, if we buy one of these, then we can eliminate that thing because it's probably a matter of days before it's no longer with us anyway, you know. And then I, with the size of that, I can move all the briskets and the ribs and all that kind of stuff into it too and just use my deep freeze out here for wild game.
Nice.
So it'll be exclusively wild game.
Yeah.
So, but I told your son I've got this injury with my hand and I don't know how, I mean, I can try, but I don't know how good I'll be about moving that thing around. So. I'm going to need some aid somewhere along the line.
I'll give you aids.
I appreciate that.
No problem.
Yeah. I'm not sure if that's what I was looking for, but.
You just say the word, buddy, and I'll be there. Just slap right in the tits. Huge.
One free hand job. Can you get AIDS from that?
I don't know. So one way to find out. He's dyslexic.
All right. I'm trying to get to the actual. Correct button here. This one.
I've been hornswoggled.
That means it's time to dry fire your bow. Somebody's being a buzzkill. Something's being a buzzkill. Got to be something somewhere.
I'm your huckleberry.
What's dry firing you?
Well, I had one earlier, and it completely slipped the noggin.
Yeah.
But looking at the weather, driving here today reignited me to be angry about that because it's been 70s again for a few days in a row now.
Yeah.
And tomorrow the high is supposed to be like 47, low of 33 for the next 3 days. So that really tickles my fancy.
Yep.
Yeah.
There are, mine says 49, 48, 52 over the next three.
Yeah, 40s.
Yeah.
Horseshit. And it's been beautiful.
Coming out of mid-70s. 70, 70. Well, Easter
yesterday
was 80.
I was going to say it was 81 yesterday when I was driving home. My truck said it was 81. Mm-hmm. Whether my truck was lying to me or not, I don't know.
Well, it probably wasn't.
But it said 81. And then tomorrow we're going to wake up to 46, 45, whatever. And then overnight lows the next 3 days are going to be in the 30s.
Yeah.
Sheesh.
Well, and the
make up my damn mind.
It had been pleasantly nice, dry, and then all this rain just came in too. Mm-hmm. Storms. And,
yep.
Yeah.
And there's more of that coming too.
Yeah. Well, that was basically my dry fire as well. Exactly what you just said.
The weather.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, because you know I've got a lot to do, and a lot of it's outside. You know, and a lot of it I want to get done before Jake's birthday, and probably not going to be able to pull that off. Then, you know, I told him that I might take him, if I can make it work, time-wise, I might take him to Lake Egypt today and fish. Well, of course, they had that tornado hit there last night.
Oh, yeah, I saw that.
From what I heard, Lake Egypt Road, which is how you access both marinas, was shut down.
Yeah.
You know, so I'm like, whoop, so much for that, you know.
That's how life goes.
Which was probably a better thing anyway. Not better for that.
Yeah, no.
Better that I was able to get more things done that I needed to do because I wasn't going there, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I saw those pictures this morning.
Pretty wild.
What's it called? Just One More or something?
I don't remember the name of it. Tripoli Barbecue got hit, and then I think the place you're talking about, just up the street from it. I can't remember the name of it.
Yeah. But yeah, it was...
Just One More's in Marion, so
it was gone. No, I don't think that's the name. I'm just making shit up.
We'll go with it then.
Yeah, yeah. But yeah, that was pretty messed up. If we had any bad weather last night, it didn't wake me up, so I don't know.
Man, all I heard, I don't think it came this far north. And what's wild about that is when you looked at the line where how they show it, the levels of enhancement. So it was all level 2 south of us. And then we were right on the border of a level 2, level 3.
Yeah.
Right here. But everything south of us got more of the level 3, and we got hardly anything. I mean,
yeah,
it rained here, but that's it. I never even heard thunder or anything. You know, just it wasn't that big of a deal. And when I woke up this morning, I mean, it looked like it. You see it out there right now. It's dry for the most part, a couple puddles here and there.
Yep.
So everything that was supposed to come up north this way all ended up down there and apparently hit the Lake Egypt area, you know, and... which is 35 minutes or so south of me here.
Yep.
So all hung around down there.
Yeah, no, I woke up, and usually when we get a bad storm, you'll have, branches and shit. Like, obviously right now you wouldn't have very many leaves, being that the leaves aren't back on the tree, but you'd still have branches and stuff like that. And I saw nothing on my deck or anywhere around it, so.
Well, there you have it. Next time we come your way from the podcast studio, we'll be talking about at least maybe a couple days of turkey hunting.
Yeah, I'm hoping to get out Monday morning.
And then go from there. But
I have to go to a wedding.
You do.
This weekend.
You do. Which really not only go to a wedding this weekend, but all the way in
Chicago.
In the Chicagos.
I was just there 2 weeks ago for a show. I had a show this Saturday out here, and now I've got to go there.
Yeah, God love you.
Wear me out.
You can have it, though.
Thanks.
You can contact us via email at backwoodsbowhunterpodcast@gmail.com. I insist you do. Somebody contacted me about wanting to record us an intro.
Nice.
Today, yeah.
Hell yeah.
I kind of like our intro, though.
Yeah.
If you have a couple minutes, take the time, leave us a review. Apple, Spotify, it does help with the show growth. Got anything else?
We appreciate growth.
We do.
In the show, too.
Not only grab your bow, but this turkey season, grab your shotgun and get after it.
Get your kids out.
Thanks for listening to another Backwoods Bowhunter episode. Didn't get enough? Climb down out of your tree stand and get ready for another epic episode next week. The Backwoods Boys will take you back downrange for more bowhunting content.